Well, good afternoon, Detroit. I am so delighted to be sitting in for my dear friend, Paul W. Smith, for Focus with Paul W. Smith. And thank you for joining us. As always, as the broadcast intern, I'm waiting for them to put little training wheels on my chair. But I'm joined by the terrific Mike Parsons, who is manning the shop. Down in the broadcast booth. I'm happy to be with my dear friend and colleague, the Chamber's Chief Operating Officer and Chief Strategic Officer, Megan Spanitz. Megan, thank you so much for being here today.
Happy to be here.
Great. And then, of course, making sure that I don't go too far off the rails, our friend, I think everyone's friend, Matt Friedman from Tanner Friedman. Matt, thank you so much for making our job so much easier.
Thanks, Sandy. We have some great business voices that affect everybody's lives here today.
Absolutely. We're going to talk to some premier business leaders. We're going to talk small business. We're going to talk a little politics, and we're going to talk a little automotive industry. So let's get right into it. I am delighted as our first guest today to welcome Tina Fries-Decker, the president and CEO of Corewell Health, which operates from one end of the state to the other. Not only is Corewell Health the largest health organization in the state, it's also the largest private employer in the state. Tina, thank you so much for joining today.
Thank you so much, Sandy. So glad to be with you today.
Well, we have lots to talk about. There's always something going on in the healthcare industry. Your industry is so dynamic. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's not. But let's talk about the state budget, which did find a solution around Medicare, because there were going to be some pretty substantial cuts to Medicare, which would have negatively impacted not just our health systems, but certainly individuals. Can you educate our listeners about what happened in Lansing this last week?
So we're really pleased that Medicaid is continuing to be offered and supported in the state, and great champions in the state to ensure that people have access to that health insurance and that they can then get the care at our facilities and with our physicians. So glad to see all parties coming together to have that conversation and point out how they can best serve their members in each of their areas of the state. So pleased for that. We are still planning for how are we going to navigate some of the major cuts from the federal government perspective. And really the focus is wanting to make sure people have access to that insurance and they can get preventive primary care, because we'd much rather take care of them in that setting than in the ER. And that's where I think the state recognized that it's much better to take care of people earlier and with primary care resources than when we have seen an illness continue on and on and on, and then we have to treat it in a very costly setting like the emergency room.
Well, and that is one of the challenges that all healthcare organizations have been working on for goodness how long, is to get people to stop using the ER as their primary care. Because it backs up the ER, people who need real ER can't get there. What are the types of things that you do within the Corewell system to try to mitigate that?
Well, first I'd say our ER physicians and team members are amazing, but we should use them for emergency type services. We should be using services like primary care or telehealth services. We have a number of telehealth services for primary care, but also it expands to other specialties that you can get into and have access to it. Now, right now, since the federal government is shut down, we did not get that waiver for telehealth, but we are hoping that that continues, because that's a key area, key way for people to access healthcare is using telehealth. There's also urgent cares. There are direct access primary care models. There is connecting with advanced practice professionals, and we have embedded in communities community health workers. And so there's a number of ways that we can provide access to care, especially around the prevention and overall health of an individual. And I encourage you to connect with a primary care physician or their team to understand your health needs.
And speaking of the federal government, there's obviously, let's just say, a lot going on in Washington, or perhaps maybe there's nothing going on in Washington. So two questions, for you. One, you touched on the potential cuts in Medicaid. which obviously would impact people directly. But also, how is the government shutdown, which is now, what are we, in our 12th day, something like that? We're definitely 2 weeks into this. How is that impacting Corewell and your fellow healthcare organizations?
Well, let me talk on two things. First, I mentioned the telehealth waivers. Those did not get approved before October 1. And so we right now are still providing some of that service, but we aren't getting reimbursed or paid for those. And that's critical because that reduces an access point for people if they need care virtually. And so, again, we're still providing that for right now, but we don't know how long we can do that. The second piece, one of the major discussions is the enhanced premium tax credit subsidies and about if we're going to extend those. And for those that know, this is the individual market, and it is a subsidy on that individual market. And if those go away at the end of the year, it means higher prices for insurance premiums for those individuals. We, as Priority Health, are continuing to be in this market. There are others that are not in this market anymore, but we believe it's really important that it's our commitment to Michigan and to the communities that we stay in this individual market. But it is very tense and stressful for people trying to navigate what insurance they should have when they don't know if those tax subsidies are going to continue.
And I've heard that some of the premiums could double, which would really put health insurance out of the reach of a lot of families.
That's very true. And it's very concerning because then they will go without insurance, or I don't think they really have an option to go to a commercial insurance, and they definitely wouldn't have an option to go to Medicaid. So then you have people without insurance. And my concern is then they would hold off on getting primary care, hold off on getting the care that they need, and it would end up, again, in our emergency rooms, where it's great for emergency services, but for everyday health of an individual, it's much better to be part of the system and to have that coordinated with your physicians and your care team.
Well, and as you said earlier, it's so much, you know, more effective and certainly more cost-effective to be able to catch these conditions early before they become acute.
Yes. And one of the things we're working on is we're trying to expand access to affordable health care. And so we're putting new processes in place, new facilities in place that really direct us to that affordable, high quality health care.
So, we're running out of time, but, you know, I'm so impressed with how you manage your time, Tina, because, you know, you're a statewide organization touching, you know, from one end of the state to the other. How do you manage your time going back and forth?
Yeah, I have an amazing team, and I'm so proud of the team that is here with us. They're great leaders, and the people that are providing the care and providing the coverage do an amazing job, and I'm so grateful that they're doing that so that we can best serve our communities.
That's awesome. Well, Tina Friesdecker, CEO of Corewell Health, and just as importantly, on the executive committee of the Detroit Regional Chamber, which I'm incredibly grateful for. Tina, thank you so much for joining today.
Thank you so much, Sandy.
All right. All right, we're off for a break, and coming up next, my friend Trevor Lauer from DTE Energy. See you on the flip side.